This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
Yeah, we can't forget that our new house band is Brother Kite. And people have been asking about Brother Kite. So this is Brother Kite. Go find him on iTunes. Welcome, everybody, to the Kevin Kelly Show. Speaking of iTunes, one of the many ways you can find the Kevin Kelly Show, each and every episode, our producer extraordinaire, Justin Rosero, will clue you in on that detail a little bit later on, how you can find the Kevin Kelly Show. You know, because you might be just riding with a friend and they've got it downloaded and you're like, hey, man, what's that band? And your friend is like, oh, Brother Kite. What's this podcast I'm listening to? I like it. It's Kevin Kelly Show. How can I find it? Justin Rosero will hook you up in just a few moments. Okay, so here's the deal. Our guest is going to be Ray Rowe. But Ray Rowe is touring in Mexico right now. And Ray Rowe is having a slight bit of difficulty, unclear whether or not he's got phone service. We tried it. It worked. But fingers crossed. If not, we'll reschedule, Ray. But man, trust me, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. There are so many things going on in the news right now when it comes to professional wrestling that this is not a time to back off. This is not a time, because it's Labor Day. This is not a holiday. This is not a phone it in. This is a work through lunch, and you know, keep one eye on the Ohio State Virginia Tech game, but at the same time, get down to business. And the business this week is well, we've got some topics to cover. We're going to look ahead to Night of Champions. We'll talk about All-Star Extravaganza from Ring of Honor. We'll also do some NFL talk as the regular season is upon us, coming up starting this Sunday, and we'll give Justin a chance to make the case that his Jets will win more than three games, because I think they're going to struggle. Then again, I think the Giants are going to struggle, and they might not win five games. So we'll see what happens. But in fact, as we mentioned, and Dan McGinn is also assisting tonight. Dan does an extraordinary job, and we thank him for being here with us. Let's bring in the aforementioned Justin Rosero. JR, are you there? Hello.
Hope I'm getting paid overtime for this.
Listen, this time and a half stuff. Yeah. No. Here's what you get. You're in Mexico right now, and you're dialed in, right? It's working for you, right?
Yeah. I'm on Playa de Cruz. Is that a place in Mexico? I don't know.
Victor sure.
Cruz.
It sounds reasonable to me.
Lee Marshall calling in from the road with your Nitro report.
Lee Marshall calling in.
I'm going to start calling in from the city. I mean, you should start doing that. Wherever ROH is going to be next weekend, you're already there planning the party.
That's a great idea, and we should start doing that, but we've got to find somebody that could do it that would be funny. So that's not nice already with the shots. If I were you, I would comb the ranks of the Place to Be Nation staff, and I would find somebody who is well equipped for this type of humor.
Okay.
And do his best or her best Lee Marshall, and we'll see what we can do. But I like that idea. But you know, I mentioned
Back
a little bit of news. I mentioned a little bit of the news that's going on. It's a very there's a lot of news in professional wrestling. Not all of it is good. And in fact, a lot of it is not good right now, because it's things that are making news outside of results, wins and losses, you know, new characters debuting. There's that going on as well. But there's other stories that are garnering mainstream media attention. It doesn't exactly shine a fine light on the wonderful sport of professional wrestling. So let's try to run them down, maybe in some sort of order of importance, or any order that you deem important to you. I'm good with that. Obviously, the Jimmy Snuka story is at the top of everyone's list.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Where were you when the news broke? Had you followed this story at all? Because I've got a very, very personal relationship with this story that I'll tell you in a minute.
No more than just, you know, seeing it here and there on news sites or having it pop up across my Twitter feed that I knew they were reinvestigating it, and it seemed like this was going to happen at some point. So it wasn't really a surprise. The reasoning behind it is kind of weird that this, you know, district attorney had kind of reopened the case and had been looking into it, and then all of a sudden Snooker releases an autobiography where his story differs from the story he told back in the day to detectives, and that kind of, you know, threw people onto the scent as well, saying, okay, now this guy's all over the place. And I guess even some of the details he gave on Sam Roberts' podcast in 2013 was different. So it seems like his story that he had been telling was different each and every time, and that led to some holes being opened. I do know he's also battling stomach cancer, right? Is that advanced? Like,
right.
How far along is he, like, pretty much done anyway? So I don't know.
He's done.
Right. So will he even make it, like, to court? I don't even know how close to, you know, his deathbed he is.
Who knows? I know that by talking with Bushwhacker Luke, when I saw him in Philly, and he told me that he saw Snuka at Piper's funeral, and he put his arm around him and could not believe just how gaunt he is, and you know, felt his rib cage. So the cancer is eating him alive. There's no doubt about it. But whether or not Jimmy Snuka even sees the prosecution, if this case is ever brought to trial while he's still alive, remains to be seen. But I can tell you this, that it is great closure for the family.
Mm-hmm.
The family that I know indirectly through my first boss in professional wrestling, Eddie Mansfield, who was in his own right a rather controversial figure.
I'm your only boss, pasty.
He was at the time married to the sister of the girl that was allegedly killed by Jimmy Snuka.
Hmm. Allegedly.
So he, you know, and Louise spoke, you know, frequently about this case and what her feelings were on it. And but believe me, there was no doubt what this family believed, and that the prosecution, for whatever reason, was stonewalling and didn't want to bring this case to trial. And as soon as there was a new prosecutor named for Lehigh County here in Pennsylvania, that new guy or girl, I'm not quite sure, decided that this was the time to reopen the investigation. Boy, charges couldn't have been brought any quicker. And so here we go.
Well, it was always seemed to be understood that he had done it. I mean, it was one of those things where nobody, it's like the Invader and Bruiser Brody, right? Where it's like everyone kind of knows, even though it was never officially proven. I mean, it seems like I've never seen anyone, you know, unless you're just a real blind loyalist, ever say like Snuka was probably innocent. I've never seen that anywhere.
Exactly. And it's a situation where at the time Vince McMahon, I guess, held a great deal of influence and held enough influence to be able to get the prosecutors away from the, you know, from prosecuting, from going after Snuka any further, from
he
quieting this, from what does that mean?
It's like we have like a mind control.
Oh,
like you can.
I've heard that phrase used before,
or you know, and if misused in Seinfeld with Svengali, of course, which I prefer. He's very very happy manipulator.
Exactly, Svengali, and I like. I always liked the story that, you know, supposedly Snuka really went into, you know, island savage mode.
Right.
When he was ever asked questions. I wasn't aware at the time that he was almost 40 years old.
Mm.
But it's a, you know, it's a situation where you think people are younger than what they are. But when you see, I guess now he's 70.
Right.
And, you know, he's in real bad health.
You have to wonder if this happened like 2 years later when Vince was kind of done with him and into the Hogan era, like would he have like went, you know, it seemed like Snuka was still a guy that he was considering to be a top guy in early 83. So you wonder how much of that may have changed for Snuka. Would he been in jail a lot earlier if he wasn't really, you know, one of Vince's top flavors at the time?
He was before Hogan.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, there's always been a lot of talk that he could have maybe been their Hogan because of how over he was in New York.
Right. But he had, again, the idea of a drug problem was putting it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a lot of questionable decisions that related to his career, let alone the abuse of women. But imagine now. Imagine how... Do you see any ramifications? Because the way I see society right now, there is a an increased sensitivity to domestic violence. And that's what this was. This was domestic violence. They were in a relationship. And again, if he's found guilty or if the facts are what the facts are, domestic violence front and center. If this happens today, I think it's a no-brainer, a no question. He's gone. He's done. And he becomes Ray Rice. He's a pariah. But what happens to the company now? Is there any blowback on them?
I can't
for,
think so.
For cover up, for stonewalling, for whatever.
No, I don't know. I mean, I think anyone who would think Vince did this probably already has a really low thought of him anyway. I mean, if they survived, not that it was murder, but Hogan was still associated with the company. And they kind of weren't really dragged into that too much. I mean, it's not good in any way because they're still going to get mentioned. But no, I don't think it. I mean, it's something that happened 40 years ago. I don't think 30 years ago. I don't think. I don't know. I don't see. Now, I will say this. I mean, could Vince himself get into some shit? I don't know what the statute of limitations is there. Like, so if they find out he helped cover it up. I mean, of all the things.
That's the next question.
I mean,
right.
Imagine if of all the things, this is what. And not that it's, I'm not taking it lightly, it's still murder, but I mean, of all the things that would take him down that we've seen and witnessed, him and the company, all the trouble they've been in the past, and he survived, if he goes down now, 30 years after he helped Jimmy Snuka cover up, you know, murder, it would just be crazy. I mean, this is what finally puts Vince McMahon away.
Well, that's, and
can
again,
you, though? I don't know.
So, and we're just speculating here. We're just talking about allegations that nothing has been proven, nothing has been. You know, even no charges have been even filed.
Right.
But it makes you think, it makes you wonder, why did he go to such great lengths back then to get this squashed? Because he was a top guy? Because it would have been a black eye on the company?
Yeah.
I mean, at any point along the way, if there would have been a different prosecutor in place, charges could have been brought up. This could have happened in 87, 92, 2002, it didn't matter that now it's 2015. It could have happened.
I think it's that I think he was looking at him as a potential top draw. I mean, he was a big-time draw for them in MSG. And I think it was would have been a major black eye at a time where he was going national. Like, he was just kind of getting his feet under him, starting to expand as he was trying to broker these deals with the different cable stations and everything else. You know, having one of his top stars go away from murder probably would not have helped his cause. So I get why he. I mean, I was obviously not right, but you can see why he did what he did probably at the time. Now, like I said, if this is like 1986, I don't think he shows up at that room and tries to save Jimmy Snuka.
Allegedly. We have to say allegedly. I think that covers you, right? This will prevent us from getting sued, is my point.
Yeah, all this is alleged. Yes, we're talking in facetious situations, terms.
Yeah, I mean, this is all just rumor and speculation. But again, it makes you wonder to the lengths to which someone will go to cover up a crime, allegedly. And the cover up is always worse. Now, not always worse, but many times the punishment for the cover up is worse than for the crime itself. I mean, look at all of what happened with Tom Brady. He was not getting, he was going to get four games because he wasn't going to, not because he, you know, deflated footballs, but because he wasn't going to cooperate with the league, you know. But I think that that was a railroad job because the owners are sick and tired of losing to Tom Brady and the Patriots. And so now, now it's thrown out and the Emperor
Goodell, should
Goodell
just went
wears
to one
no
game.
Clothes.
Yeah, he should just went to one game and been done with it. I mean, he, whatever. I'm so done talking about it. I really don't want to talk about it. We're done. No more Deflategate. I can't do it.
What about? Okay, so we'll. I know, but obviously now Brady's in for all 16 games to start week one at least. Obviously, that's going to have an influence on the outcome of the season. So we'll talk about that later on. There's some stories going on about TNA.
Well,
which
on,
we'll
one more
talk
thing about Snuka. You know what they say. If the coconut,
what did they say?
If the coconut is split, you must acquit.
Oh, Jesus. So good. Oh, my God. If he says that in the court of law.
Well, Jackie Childs defends him, anyway.
Jackie Childs will be bringing him up, and he will sit there and nod affirmatively, and yeah. And then,
well, Clarence Mason.
Boy, oh, boy.
You ever hear from him at all? What happened to that guy?
I don't know.
We should get him on the show.
I would have to find him.
He was Jay Biggs in WCW. That was about it. I don't know if that was like a play of Jason Biggs or what, but yes, he was. But he, I mean, he
I don't know if that. I don't know if Clarence Mason was his real name. Something tells me it wasn't.
Uh-huh. Okay, maybe we should track him down. But he was a cool one.
Real attorney.
Yeah, was he nice? Did you like him? Did you
work on that? He was a very nice man, but I think he wound up a lot of people, and I think he had a slightly misguided sense of worth.
Yeah.
So to the point when he was fired by the Nation of Domination, he comes through the curtain and Jim Ross is producing Vince McMahon on commentary, as he did for all the live Raw broadcasts. And JR was also the head of talent relations at the time, or was part of talent relations at the time. I think JJ was still the head of it. And so Clarence Mason, of course, picks the exact wrong time right then and there to say, okay, JR, so what's next for me? To which JR famously says, well, you just heard him. You're fired. So there you go. And we never saw him again. So that was one of the times.
His real name was Herman Stevens Jr.
I believe you. I believe you.
And he headed back to South Florida and returned to practicing law out at Delray Beach. So next time you're down there, let's get him on the show. Lock it up.
Let's do that. All right, lock it. All right, so there's a story floating around about TNA, which we'll talk about in a couple of seconds. But the next time we will be together to broadcast, Night of Champions will have already happened. And obviously, Seth Rollins now holding two titles. That's just, I never would have thought such a thing could happen in professional wrestling. Where one wrestler would hold two singles titles simultaneously. Right. That's crazy.
So judging by your tone, your tonality, tonal discussion, you clearly feel they took this idea from Jay Lethal. Is that your stance? Do you believe that? What's your percentage?
55%.
Okay.
I think it's slightly more than coincidental. I can't say that they did it directly because...
Well, so let me ask you this. When you say coincidental, do you mean... So there's one or two ways you could take it. Did they do it like, hey, ROH, you're doing this, we'll do it better? Or do you mean, oh, hey, that's a cool idea they're doing, let's do it too? Like, did they steal the idea, or is it like a shot that we can do what you're doing? Like, which way do you take it? Or is it just like, fuck, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
As far as Ring of Honor is concerned, the funny thing is that There's not 1 second of thought that goes into what the WWE is doing. So when Seth Rollins wins the U.S. title at SummerSlam, right? That was what he won?
Yes.
He was already the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He won the U.S. title when Jon Stewart did what he did, that no good Nick. And when Seth Rollins was now the United States champion, it was like the next day where I was like, oh, yeah, hey, that's pretty cool. I wonder where they got that idea. Like, that was just my gut reaction. That's why I say I don't know whether or not they said, we'll show them this is how you do a double champion. We will do this to hurt Ring of Honor's business, which I can't believe that they would, because it's impossible. It's impossible for us to hurt their business, and it's impossible for them to hurt our business. It just can't happen. No company can affect the other.
So let me ask you this.
But did they do it? Was there malice and forethought? No, I don't think so.
Right, because the story did lead itself that way. So it's not like they went completely like out of left field to have it done. So I'm not saying they didn't get the idea from there, but they didn't shoehorn. It's not like they moved Ryback into a feud with Rollins just to give Rollins both titles. Like, his feud with Cena existed anyway. And to me, a lot of people thought Cena would win, and be done with Rollins, but they really doubled down on him to say, no, we're pushing him even more now. But before we move to Night of Champions, which could be another big night for him, who of the double champions in your mind is having the better year?
Jay Lethal has raised his game. But see, that I don't think that's a fair question to ask me because I'm partial.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you Jay Lethal because I've seen Jay Lethal up close more than I've seen Seth Rollins.
I think Lethal's reigns have been booked better. We'll say that. Rollins is not, you know, TV-wise, been really put... He hasn't been booked, like, superbly. He's been booked strongly enough, but he loses a lot on TV and gets a lot of bland TV time and is stuck in these things that go nowhere, like the statue thing that's going on now. But in-ring, Rollins has been fantastic.
Exactly. That's a perfectly fair assessment. Perfectly fair. And I think Lethal has raised his game and is different now than he was when he was just the television champion. He was one wrestler when he won the TV title. He was another wrestler. He had improved greatly throughout his reign as television champion. And then when he gained the world championship as well, I think that just added more dimension to it. Neither has suffered, and Lethal's only gotten better. So
let me ask you this. So if you're opening your own promotion and you can select one of the two of them going forward, who are you taking?
Damn it.
And don't worry about recognition or draw. Like, assume they'll both be the same draw-wise. Like,
well, no,
like, don't
take
Rollins because he's been on Monday Night Raw for a year.
Oh, well, then that would be the only...
I'm just talking, like, who would you pick from a... In-ring, promo, like this, their acumen standpoint. So the guy you want on your team, not worrying about name value, per se.
Okay, so I would say, boy, Cardale Jones looks pretty good there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's not him. That's Ezekiel Elliott. Sorry. I'm going to go Lethal. But slightly, I think both are great. Both are fantastic. You're not going to go wrong with either guy. They're both young. They're both healthy. There aren't any red flags with either guy in terms of, you know, conditioning or history or problems or anything like that. Both are locker room leaders. Both are outstanding professionals. You can't go wrong with either guy, but I'm going to pick Lethal.
And I'll say this about Rollins. He is a guy that has really grown into the role. Like, when that turn first happened, so many people were like, why are we going this way? Ambrose should be the heel. Or, you know, I mean, so when they turned him heel, a lot of people didn't think it was going to work. And I think now you look at him, and he feels like he at least belongs, and that win over Cena helped. So let's quickly go through. There's only, to this point, I think 4 matches announced for another champion. So we'll talk about those quickly, and then we can do TNA quick before we go to break. So Rollins defending twice, the U.S. title versus Cena and the world title versus Sting. Now, I'm of the belief that you've already come this far with Rollins. You doubled down at SummerSlam. Why not go, you know, all hog and have him, you know, full hog, whole hog, is that what it is? And have him defeat both guys again. But I think the most likely scenario is he loses to Cena and then beats Sting. I don't see Sting winning the world title, being the guy that... I mean, I guess they could, but I just don't see it. I think this is just to get him out there to help sell some shows for this one. I think Rollins beats Sting, but I do think there's a strong chance he loses to Cena, loses the U.S. title back.
I do like... Obviously, I think the loss to Sting is the right way to go. Sting does not need to win.
Right.
And Sting can have a legitimate bitch pointing towards Triple H or pointing towards somebody in the coalition, the family, the authority. What do they call themselves?
Authority.
The authority, yeah. Sure.
Faction.
My phone is ringing. I apologize.
It's Sting right now. He's calling a bitch about the title loss.
I'm sorry, Sting. Listen.
I think it's cool, though. Do you like that they're using him in the spot? I like it. It's a different matchup.
I do.
I think it'll be solid.
I like the It was so predictable that it was going to be him coming out of the
poor bastard
coming
with
out of
his
the box
paint
there, right?
Melting off his face from being in that box.
What?
It's a poor bastard with the paint melting off his face from being in that box.
That was rotten. But I thought that was cool. Mm. And that's an old wrestling trick.
Sure.
That's something that and Cornette and Vince Russo in one of their many fights. Like Cornette. At one time, Cornette used to, like, Russo used to laugh at Cornette, like, not laugh, but be honestly, like, entertained by him, because some of the things that Cornette believed, Russo found hysterical.
Right.
Like, anybody who comes out of a box is over. Like, you could pop anybody out of a box. It's a surprise. Out from underneath the sheet, out from underneath the... You know, in the box, the guy comes out. It's instantly like he has instant credibility. And not that Sting needed that, but I'm saying it could have been anybody. And so that's and then there was another one that made Russo laugh. Cornette believed that there was no Christmas for a heel. That heels did not celebrate holidays such as Christmas.
You think they would because they're so greedy. They just want presents.
Every day is Christmas when you're a heel.
Right.
All they do is think about themselves.
What about Santa
time.
Claus? He clearly is involved in Christmas.
See? But anyway, so that was those were two things that and as soon as I saw Sting come out from behind the curtain there, standing in the middle of the ring, I thought of Cornette and I thought of Russo. So
all right, so we're gonna say Rollins splits. You on board with that?
Yeah. I'm 50-50 with him keeping both, actually. No, I'm going to say he keeps both. I'm going to be different.
I like the idea. I just don't know if they beat Cena again. I mean, I don't know. They had to go screwy last time with Jon Stewart. I don't think they'll ever have him beat him clean, even though they should. But I think they get the belt back on Cena, so then he can drop it to someone else, doing some more U.S. challenges. Nikki Bella, her reign, and damn again, I need you to confirm, I think her record-breaking comes before Night of Champions, if I'm right. But she will be defending against Charlotte at Night of Champions. Dan, will she already be the record holder by then? I don't know. Anyway, I'm pretty sure
which is the only reason that she has the belt,
right? Yeah, she's gonna keep it to break the record because they didn't come this far to not do it. Like they've got to this point. Why would you not do it now? So I do think she will at least break the record, and the story seems to be setting up. I thought setting up Paige should be the one takes it. So, like, it wouldn't surprise me if Charlotte doesn't. But I also think once she breaks the record, they're kind of done for a bit with the Bellas, maybe. And they will try and get it into the newer divas. Sasha Banks just beat Paige on TV. So, I'm not sure where it's all headed. But I'll take Charlotte there, just assuming they want to get the belt off Nikki once she breaks the record.
I want everybody to go out of their way, and not because I'm selling the product, but I want everybody to go out of their way to listen to Maria Kanellis' commentary on the VOD, the video on demand from our Atlanta event on the Reloaded Tour. It was during the Kingdoms match against Will Ferrara and Watanabe. I want everybody to... make sure they listen to what Maria had to say. Very, very strong comments about all things women in professional wrestling. Just craziness and brutal honesty and refreshing. And I loved it. So just go out of your way to listen to it. And the Virginia Tech kicker pushes it to the right. It's 14-0. The air is sucked out of the building. And everybody could go watch Raw now and not feel like they're missing anything.
Yeah. So it looks like the record will be broken days before. So there's been rumors she could maybe lose it on next week's Raw and not break the record. But again, I don't think AJ's ever coming back. And I think having Nikki be the record holder is something they can trumpet. She's clearly not going anywhere. So, especially now that Johnny Ace is married into the family. it's getting to be like the Kardashians. The Bellas are all in involved. Johnny Ace and Mama Bella, Nikki and John, Bree and Brian.
Now, does Johnny Ace go the full route and become Caitlyn Jenner at some point?
He could. He could get the hair going. I think it could happen.
It could.
All right. So the last match announced. The last match announced is the six-man, the Wyatts, Bray, I almost said Ron Hopper, Luke Harper, and Strom Thurmond. Strowman.
I'm so down with Ron Harper.
Strowman. Luke Harper, Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, the Wyatts, taking on the former Shield, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and a mystery partner. So there's been a couple of rumors. One is that it will be Eric Rowan coming back. And the other was rumored to be Baron Corbin from NXT, because apparently the original screen put up on WWE.com that some people snapshotted had Baron Corbin as the third man. So we'll see.
I think obviously it'd be nice if there was a little bit of, anyway, set up, because then obviously it's going to turn into a 4-on-2 beatdown, and the Wyatt family is more strong and unified than ever.
Right.
Baron Corbin, he's just not that good.
I know. Well, is that a good way to hide him, though? Right. So if they kind of almost do like a Shield 2.0, can they hide him in six mans and tags? Maybe that's their thought, that this guy's never going to really click as a solo.
Your favorite incarnation of the Four Horsemen was the one with Mongo in it, right?
Yeah, baby. Well, not my favorite, but I like Mongo.
I think they're... It was just an opportunity to hear the Mongo McMichael impression, which I love.
Now, you live in here, Hulk Hogan. I don't care how many scientific maneuvers you got. But yeah, I like Ambrose and Reigns. I'm glad they're keeping them as a team. There were rumors at SummerSlam that Ambrose may turn and go with the Wyatts, but I think it's helped Reigns having them aligned. I like that they're... That's something we don't have enough of nowadays, guys with in alliances that aren't necessarily a team. And I think it's good. It's refreshing. It's got that old school feel to it, where you'd have all the friends, like they'd always help each other out. They team up in six mans if they need to. Sting and, Dustin were friends because they, and when Vader and Barry Windham attacked, they would team up. So, stuff like that. So it's cool to see them be a unit, have each other's backs, even though they're not necessarily a team.
I think that would be cool. And obviously, the original Shield was never built on strong interpersonal dynamic in and amongst the three members. So it's not like we had to get into who was friends with whom and who right. hung out with whom. It was just these were three guys. They believed in what they believed in. We always speculated as to whether or not they were part of CM Punk or whose side they were on. And they right. just got over as ass kickers, and everybody liked them and thought they were cool. So this might be the best thing for a guy that's not very good in Baron Corbin, because yep. he's not very good.
I mean, I don't think Rowan – I like Rowan, but I don't think he's not going anywhere. So to me, if you're going to do it, why not try? At least take a hack with Corbin and see if it clicks. Now, Corbin may kind of work in the Wyatts as well. He's got a little bit of a creepy look. So they could do what you said, the 4-on-2 thing, and yep. build out the Wyatt. So, all right, let's quickly – I just want to read this TNA story I found. Get your take before we go to break. There's a lot more concern, and this is from Wrestle Chat. There's a lot more concern for TNA's failure, or future failure, Freudian slip, future with Destination Jeez. America, now that we're into September with no word from the network or their parent company or TNA about the status of Impact after this month. We noted a few months back after an internal memo revealed Discovery was using their first-year out clause and canceling their multi-year deal. At the time, it was stated the issues were due to programming costs and how hard it was selling advertising time, not the ratings. But the ratings haven't improved either, even with the move to Wednesdays. TNA officials insist that major announcements are coming, according to PW Insider. But nobody who's talking in TNA knows for sure if they will still be on Destination America after this month. And there's been no announcement for TV tapings for October. TNA signed the deal with Discovery. One of the points was that Discovery will be able to syndicate Impact in any market. Another bad sign for the company is Impact was pulled from Discovery in Espanol, and the show was also pulled from Discovery Romania and Eurosports Finland, which is also one. This is all from The Observer. So it doesn't sound like it's going to end well for them. It sounds like they're done. If they get pulled, Kev, what do you think their future is? Where do they go? Are they done? Do they go internet only, which we talked about, I think, previously? Could they just
yep.
start their own YouTube channel and run right through their website? Scale things down even further, or will some other network buy in and bite?
I don't know if some other network will buy in and bite, but again, immediately what they have beyond what they had with Discovery is television in many international markets. So those contracts are not a part of their relationship with Discovery. And that's what's going to keep them afloat. They're going to stay in business because of that.
So do they run on international TV and then just on the web?
That would be what I would say if they're, you know, maybe they just become an international company. Maybe they just run international tours and they don't worry about the U.S. market until the U.S. market finds them. You know what I'm saying?
Here's two options. So do they just become Global Force? Does that, this whole thing, do they just become, and Jarrett's selling it anyway, do they sell it as a combined offering and it's almost like WCW, NWO or whatever, GFW, TNA, and it's one owned promotion with two companies within it? Do they try and do something weird like that? Or you want to get crazy, Dixie, give Vince a call. Get yourselves on the WWE Network, late night Fridays or something like that. Why not?
I do know that Dixie Carter, not too long ago, had an opportunity to sell the company. And part of the reason why the company didn't sell was because she kind of wanted to make sure that she had a job.
Yep.
So, and
yeah,
be featured.
Yep.
So, and I heard that from a very reliable source in the industry. So,
and I get this rumor that Eric Bischoff was tweeting, responded to a question about when he'd be back involved in wrestling, and he said, like, stay tuned with, like, a winky emoticon or something. And people wondered if he was going to get back involved. But apparently, the word is he has maybe a DVD coming out with WWE, and there's actually some fresh interviews with him finally on some of these documentaries instead of that one from, like, 2004 when he's sitting up in the rafters at the arena show. But
yeah.
So they think it may just be that he's getting on better terms again with WWE, and he'll be involved in different projects there, which is probably the best for him at this point.
Sure. Winky face emoticon.
Winky, winky.
I think that reports of their demise or TNA's demise are greatly exaggerated, but obviously their business is going to change. So how it changes and what changes that it, we've already seen the change. We've already seen how they've turned the roster over and how they're going with younger guys and they're doing these bulk tapings and getting a bunch of shows in the can and, you know, multiple weeks of TV. That might be just what they do on an international basis. They have contracts that they have to fulfill, so they have to shoot TV somewhere. And I think they can.
I don't have the ring in Dixie's backyard. The old school. WCF.
That'd
style.
Be so great. That's it, right there at the hotel. What was that club?
California.
That they ran? No. In Pensacola or whatever beach that was when WCW was sold.
Yep. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting. Drawing a blank. Club La Villa? No, are they at La Villa?
Laveau?
Club La Villa.
La Villa? La Villa?
Yeah.
You used to watch all those, right?
Oh yeah. I watched
at first.
I watched both.
I mean, wasn't it 20 years ago that last week, the debut of Nitro with Lex Luger?
It was.
And they did it at the Mall of America in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, because I wasn't employed by the WWE at the time, I remember thinking, man, WWF sucks. This looks pretty fresh. WWF's in a lot of trouble. And then when Hogan turned at Bash at the Beach, I was employed by the WWE. I remember watching that pay-per-view in Master Control going, damn, WWF sucks. We're in a lot of trouble. I was always that guy.
Can't imagine why you didn't last.
Shut up. So that's the reason why I didn't last. But anyway. All right. Let's move on because I think we've covered our opening three topics. I said we might get Ray Rowe. If not, we're more than capable of handling this entire broadcast on our own and making this a damn fine, entertaining pay-per-view. We should sell this thing. Put it on pay-per-view. It'll be awesome. All right.
You got fired because you suck.
Sorry. Listen, boss, I wish you hadn't covered up Snuka in 83.
You can actually listen. There's a Place to Be podcast that extrapolates on that situation. It may or may not include Mr. McMahon singing Girls Just Want to Have Fun with Mark Claire. So be sure to check that out in the archives.
May or may not. So I mentioned, of course, you know, that we've got a lot of news that's going on in the world of wrestling. Not all of it is good, but there is always good news. There is always something positive. And I think that obviously where things are going and new opportunities are given for talent as both companies, TNA, WWE, they both start to open up and give some newer, younger guys an opportunity. especially TNA. So the hope is within the industry, everybody that I know and everybody that I talk to says, gosh, we hope TNA stays in business because it's another place for wrestlers to go, another place for guys to work, another place for fans, another outlet. And who knows, it might turn around and get really, really good one day. So that certainly is the hope. Do we want to talk any more about Hogan and Austin or Daniel Bryan or anything like that, JR?
Let me just give it quick. Hogan, I'm starting to come back around now. I don't know.
Really?
He may be back. He'll be back eventually. Maybe it won't be by this Mania, but he didn't help himself. That Good Morning America interview kind of got ripped a bit, but I'm starting to think maybe they time his redemption and major apology in time to be at Mania to give like a I'm sorry thing. Austin, I'll say, is not wrestling. He'll be there. Daniel Bryan, I'm sticking with it. I think he's done.
I think Daniel Bryan is done. I think Hogan is done. And I think Austin will be at WrestleMania. I would love to see, I'll go out on a limb here and say that Stone Cold Steve Austin will be the special guest referee for the rubber match between Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. That's, I'm putting the marker down.
They should just do Brock Taker at Survivor Series, since that's Taker's like show.
It's fair. I mean, but
or do it in Hell in a Cell. Do it in Hell in a Cell in October.
In October, but it's not going to happen. Yeah. It'll be at WrestleMania, and there you go.
All right.
Okay. Now let's. We've got more stuff to do. We're gonna preview the NFL season. We're gonna give our thoughts. We might even pick a Super Bowl winner. Who knows? But right now, JR is going to tell us where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show each and every episode.
You can find it by subscribing to the brand new Kevin Kelly Show dedicated feed on iTunes. All the latest episodes will automatically download to your Apple devices. And Kevin Kelly, this podcast was in the top 200 of all sports and recreation podcasts on iTunes for a couple weeks there after our last episode. So hopefully
that's
with this new
hot,
one, we'll jump right back in there. So congrats to you and me.
Thank you to everybody.
You can also visit PlaceMination.com, click on the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can visit Stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to also follow us Twitter, Place2BNation, or at Real Kevin Kelly, and Facebook.com/KevinKellyShowPTBN for all your latest news. And be sure to visit thebrotherkite.bandcamp.com. For information on The Brother Kite, all the music you hear on this show each and every week, or each and every episode, I should say, is produced by The Brother Kite. So you can actually listen to all of their music and their albums right at thebrotherkite.bandcamp.com and also by searching for them on YouTube.
We've got a special shout-out to give to one of our sponsors a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. Great achievement over the weekend. But let's take a quick time out. We'll come back. We will attempt to get Mr. Ray Rowe on the phone. If not, we'll talk about Ray's projects. He's in Mexico. So anyway, we may be technologically shut out here on this deal. But anyway, we'll give it a shot and we'll continue with the Kevin Kelly Show. It continues here on the Place to Be Nation and our website home, placetobenation.com.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
All right, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show, and throughout the course of the break and before that and probably afterward, we're trying to get a hold of Ray, trying to get him on the phone. I don't know whether it's a network issue or something like that, but we're getting a weird dial tone, a weird ring, and it goes to voicemail. So anyway, we're going to postpone Ray, and we'll have him on in a couple of weeks. But I do want you to check out a couple of things, because he's got this documentary. As you know, Ray Rowe has been an integral part of Ring of Honor for a couple of years. Just over 1 year ago, he was in a horrific motorcycle accident, nearly lost his life, let alone his professional wrestling career. They began to work on a documentary because he was dedicated to coming back. So there is and I was part of the, I was interviewed for it. It's called The Path. Now, they've been trying to raise money to get it produced on a GoFundMe deal. GoFundMe.com/RaymondXRowe, R-O-W-E. And I don't know if they hit their goal or not. I don't really follow on the whole GoFundMe type of thing. I'm not quite sure how it works. But go to uprocks.com or do a search and look for The Path, Ray Rowe, the documentary trailer. It's really cool. So I think you'll enjoy that. Now, when Ray comes on in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about that. He's also getting ready. Now, he's in Mexico right now working for a promotion called Chilanga Mask, which I think is just really cool. He's also going for Pro Wrestling NOAH. He and Hansen, as War Machine, are going to fight the Killer Elite Squad for the NOAH Tag Team titles, the GHC Heavyweight Tag Team titles. That comes up on the 19th. So best of luck to those guys. And War Machine, part of the mix in the Tag Team Division for Ring of Honor Wrestling. And a hotly contested triple threat match is on the offering for pay-per-views viewers on Friday, September 18th from San Antonio, Texas at All-Star Extravaganza. It is the World Tag Team Champions, The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, against The Kingdom, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, with the lovely First Lady of Ring of Honor, Maria Kanellis, and the Young Bucks. So it's a triple threat match. It is The Addiction versus The Kingdom versus the Young Bucks, one fall, title on the line on pay-per-view on the 18th. So when Ray comes back, we've got a lot to talk about. But go check out the trailer for The Path. And if you're a rich guy or if you're a rich girl and you're a subscriber to this show and you want to contribute a lot of money to Ray and the production team for The Path, I'm sure they'd be thrilled. And make sure you tell them that you heard it here on The Kevin Kelly Show. Okay. So what now, since we've had to kind of scramble and do things a little bit, We do want to mention our friends at GetRidOfCable.net, mm-hmm. because every time I click on an article nowadays, how to save money, what's the newest trends in television, where are broadcasters going for an audience, it doesn't matter what the audience, what the article is, it all talks about the fact that everybody is cutting the cord. Everybody is following the advice that they will find on this great website, which is a sponsor of ours, JR.
Yes, be sure to visit it. And like you said, Kevin, it's all the rage right now, cutting the cord and moving on from the cable companies and doing things your own way, watching online and then getting, you know, Hulu, Netflix, WWE Network, HBO Go you can get now as a standalone. So football season, you know, is coming up. But you know what? Maybe you just go out to the bar or you get your local team over the air, so you don't even need cable for that either. So, yes, GetRidOfCable.net is the home for all of the information you would ever need about the topic.
And do we also want to mention our friends at Place to Be Nation right here, right now? Is this the time to do it? Because there's so much stuff going on.
Sure. We can talk about that. And one of the members of PlaceToBeNation.com, Kevin Kelly, is my good friend Josh Richer. And I bring him up because we have this phenomenon amongst our friends here called a Richerance. And it used to happen with Josh Richer a lot. And now whenever it happens to us, we call it a Richerance. And what that means is, you may be talking about something and then something happens and it's like a coincidence, but it always happened when Josh was involved in this for Churins. So say you're thinking of a song and then you like turn the car on and the song is on, you know, stuff like that. So earlier tonight we were talking about the double champion Seth Rollins, and I mentioned it's not like they threw him into a feud with Ryback and had him win the IC title. And I had no idea. Right now, Seth Rollins is facing the Ryback. So I'm putting that in the returns basket. That we just talked about it. And then all of a sudden, of all the matches that could have happened on Raw, that's the one that they had.
Wow. See, things like that make you, you know, we need this returns. We need, what's his name, Paul?
Josh.
Or Josh. We need Josh to be part of things here. And I need to know these types of things ahead of time. Like, what is Josh into? Give me the newest and latest trends so I could be on the lookout for what's coming up next.
Okay. Well, you can follow him on Twitter somewhere or friend him on Facebook. But he is...
they have such a thing, the way to stay in contact with people now?
Can you imagine?
That I barely even know?
So I bring him up, though, because he does have a podcast here, Richard and the Mailman, who is our friend Jeff Machado, is the mailman, and our buddy Andrew Flanagan joins them now because they are going through the Jersey Shore. Josh has never seen it, and he despises it, but they're making him watch it and talk about it. From the start. So be sure to check those out. The newest episode should be dropping very soon for those boys there. Speaking of podcasts, we have tons for you to peruse and listen. Between the Sheets, Episode 7, Chris Zellner, David Bixenspan, joined by John Philip Pavage, to discuss the week that was September 1st through the 7th of 1995 in the Dirt Sheets. Of course, discussing the debut of Nitro, Luger's departure to WCW, Vader leaving WCW, all kinds of stuff going on. And that is the seventh episode of that. So if you're into kind of the behind the scenes of a time period that you may not be as familiar with, I recommend Between the Sheets. It's really, really good. Long episodes, but they go really in depth and talk about the stuff that happened this week many years ago. We also have other podcasts like The Kings of Sport, This Week in Wrestling, our Seinfeld series, Kevin. We're almost through season 5. We got a couple more to go. We just put up the fire last Friday. We have two more left, and then we're into season 6. Me and Scott's Vintage Vault Refresh written series continued. We're through Survivor Series 1995. Extra Point went up, and it's the end of an era, Kev, because our sports shows are merging. That's the big news that was announced. If you want details, check out the Extra Point. But the Extra Point and Sports Lounge is now becoming PTBN Sports Evolution, and their football preview will be up this week, the debut episode with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr. And, of course, the one and only Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast with myself and Will, and, of course, Dan McGinn's our producer on that show. We have set times, and we do 3 games per episode. Each gets 30 minutes, and then we read some mail. So, like, last week we talked about what if famous wrestlers had switched gimmicks throughout history. We built war games that never happened. That was a fun thing. And then in honor of Labor Day, we talked about wrestlers who had moonlighting jobs that played other characters, you know, other, like, whatever. Bob Holly was a race car driver. Duke Josie was a garbage man. So we're talking about all those guys that had a second job when it came to Labor Day, in honor of Labor Day. So, Kev, let me sell this one on you because this is one Will and I talked to. I'm not going to go fully in depth. If you want to hear it, you guys can listen to the episode. So we called it Face Off after honoring the John Travolta Nicolas Cage movie where we're taking two wrestlers and switching them into the other role. And I came up with the idea of putting Dean Ambrose into the Million Dollar Man gimmick, but taking it in like a crazy Scarface-ish way where he's this like rich guy with loads of money, but he's out of his mind and just goes nuts using his money to like destroy people. And Scarface or like Wolf of Wall Street, like that kind of, you know, megalomaniac rich guy. What do you think of that? Could he pull that off?
Oh, I think he definitely could have. Why is it that we can't have characters like that in WWE?
Right.
That's just one example that shows me that the direction that they're going in is probably not the right direction. And well, it's the right direction because it's whatever they're doing is, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be so much cooler than what they're doing because everybody is so one-dimensional now. Mm-hmm. Everybody is big guy, angry guy, whatever, funny, stupid guy, but nobody is crazy guy with a lot of money who's really smart and sophisticated but is out of his mind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's no depth and dimension to anybody, but I like that a lot. Could he have pulled it off? Absolutely. The wrestlers would love characters like that. Nobody wants to play somebody stupid.
Well, there's a lot of it. And finally, I'll just plug our excellent WWE Network Adventure number 4. Dan is well involved in that with me, Brad Woodling, Chad Campbell, Jason Greenhouse, and my PAC Scott Criscola is going to be joining us as well. We are watching everything the WWE Network has to offer in chronological order. So we've watched four house shows from 1975 to 1978. We got one more to go, and then we hit a stretch of like 20 WCCW shows, world class. Because those are the next things chronologically. So we're going through. We're not doing reviews. We have categories. So best performance, best match, most disappointing thing. So a lot of cool stuff that we're checking out there with the excellent network adventure. So PlaceMania.com. It's got everything you could want. Christmas is coming up soon. The holidays, even if it's a birthday, is coming up. You can help support us. There's an Amazon banner on the right-hand side. You click that banner. Takes you right to Amazon. You can do all your shopping. No other details, no other steps needed. If you just visit PlaceMania.com first and go through Amazon from our site, it kicks back a few dollars our way. So be sure to do that if you want to help support the site and keep all the shows free and up and running. Much appreciated. Also, on that right-hand column, if you scroll down a little bit more past Kevin Kelly's beautiful face, you can check out the free ebook from myself and Scott Criscola, our Vintage Vault Review Refresh Series. In ebook format, it has all our reviews from 1985 through 1993, right in one easy reading spot for you. So be sure to check that out too.
You give away too much. This site gives too much away.
Well,
and I think you
fans.
Should. I think you should charge. No, I think you should charge a lot of money for this type of content.
Yeah, it's all right. We love our fans.
$49.95 a month.
$9.99
as a subscription. I think it's well worth it. But anyway. Boy, there's, like I said, there's a lot going on with PTBN. You said it right. It's thorough. Everything that you guys do on this site is thorough. And that's what I appreciate about it. For the first time, I was interviewed by you and Scott. And I left that interview going, God, that was like, they really were in depth on a lot of stuff. And it was super long. And I was like, I hope it was okay. And then I was like, ugh, I want to get away from these guys. They're creeps.
And now we're friends.
Now look at us. All right, pack. So that is that.
At least you didn't cry like JJ Dillon did, and we made him cry on air. So that was
how'd you make him cry?
It was a story about him reuniting with Dusty, I think, at the Hall of Fame. When he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, he reconciled with Dusty and he broke down and started crying when he's telling the story. And then he ripped us over email when we asked him to come back because he didn't finish. But good stuff, JJ Dillon. Check that out. Two very good interviews.
He ripped you over email because why?
All right. So, you know, he had on air, we didn't finish the interview. And he said that he had to go and he'd love to come back. So when I emailed him to do it again, to come back on, he kind of did this like, normally I'm paid for these types of things, but because I said I'd come back, I'd come back. And it was mentally exhausting and all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's fine. He's doing it for free. I'm not going to say much. But it was very like, you know, we're not paying you, JJ. You can come back if you want either way. But wow. It was a really cool interview, though. He was. He gave us a lot of stuff. So it was well worth checking out. Search the archives.
Well, good for him. Good for JJ. Good for you guys. Well done. All right. So now we're moving into trending. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Trending.
Oh, see, this is great because new viewers, new listeners, new participants, new folks that are just joining and getting on board here with the Kevin Kelly Show on PlaceView Nation, downloading on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast, wherever they're getting it from. This is my favorite segment. Out of all the segments we do, this is my favorite, and it is the it's trending stories. JR takes a deep, in-depth look at the world around us. And it begins, usually it's three, sometimes it's four, but it all begins at the beginning. And the beginning this week and every week is with trending story number one here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
And now the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for trending stories right here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
Hey, Kev, who's winning the battle over fat shaming? Comedian Nicole Arbour claims that her Dare Fat People video, in which she railed against the role she says overweight people play in America's obesity crisis, got her YouTube channel temporarily shut down. Fat shaming is not a thing, Arbour said. Fat people made that up. There's a race card, there's a disability card, and even a gay card, because gay people are discriminated against wrongfully. So, the gay card is covered in glitter. Arbour's video attracted 500,000 views before she says her entire YouTube channel was temporarily shut down Saturday. Who got an email from Google warning her about violating its terms, and she claims to be the first comedian in the history of YouTube to be censored. So what do you think of her comments, and what do you think of the censoring or the shutting down?
First of all, America's collective political correctness is run amok, and everyone has lost their sense of humor. No one can be funny anymore. Nobody can tell jokes. Everybody is.
Is this a joke,
blank.
Though? Because this is one of my pet peeves.
I haven't seen the video, so I don't know whether it's funny or mean.
But one of my pet peeves is we've gone so far, rightfully so. I mean, I agree with you. The political correctness is off the charts, and it's annoying. But on the flip side, to me, that allows people who aren't funny to say stuff, and then when they get kind of bitched out, oh, no, everyone's so sensitive nowadays. No, you're just not that funny. Like, it wasn't funny. Like, you're not being funny. You're being annoying, you know? Like, it's like the person who makes fun of your sports team, and you get mad, and they say, oh, come on, it's just sports. I'm just playing. Like, no, don't get into it then if you're just playing. Like, I don't want to play with you, you know, making fun of things that I like. So it's, to me, it's on that level. I haven't seen it either, so I'm not going to say that.
Well, I didn't want to be that guy and say, oh, you know, who's this Nicole Arbor? Because I've never heard of her.
No, me neither. Right.
So I did. I was like, oh, but I'm when it comes to comedy and things like that, I get all my pop culture from PTBN. So that's the only place I know anything.
But I mean,
that's it.
Well, what do you think, is fat shaming a thing? I mean, I do think fat people can get discriminated against. I think that's definitely a thing. I don't think that's way
everything.
Off base.
Listen. That's what you do. You know, people don't do anything socially anymore.
Right.
What's one activity that they do? They go with their significant other to the mall or some public place and mock people and sit there and talk about people behind their back. Fat, short, old, you know, mentally retarded, physically handicapped. Who cares? Everybody is ripe for the picking when it comes to that type of stuff. It doesn't make it right, and it means that if you say it, you better be prepared for the slings and arrows. So Nicole Adler, whatever her name is, what's her name?
Arbor, Nicole Arbor.
I dated a girl in college named Nicole Adler. Isn't that weird?
That's weird. It's like Jane Adler from It's Complicated.
It is.
But the thing is, like, the whole YouTube thing is over, like, the YouTube comedian. Like, I know it's been big for some people, and that's how they've made a name nowadays, that they can do this, but it's not like she said it. I don't know. She said it on YouTube. Oh, no. The YouTube comedian got taken down. It's just, I don't know. It's like the guy at home gets mad after Battleground and smashes his TV around. Like, if he got shut down. Like, okay. Whatever. He's just
how
on YouTube.
Dare it? If John Cena wins, we riot. You know? I think
the
that
world.
There is... everybody's looking for their 15 seconds of fame. It's not even 15 minutes anymore. And America's attention span is so short, and everybody's lost their collective sense of humor, and political correctness is run amok. And so this woman who I've never heard of bitches because something that she says is now hurting people's feelings when it probably isn't all that funny in the first place.
Right. So, that's my point. It probably wasn't.
There you go.
Something funny.
That's
probably
it.
Being a jerk.
All right. So that and again, to start anything with Weird Al is brilliant. So that was the best part of that one. But let's move on because there's more trending stories. This is trending story number two on The Kevin Kelly Show.
I don't know how much of a metalhead you are, Kev, but if you do or don't know that song, it's called Creeping Death by Metallica. And
right.
The reason I picked that song is because that is the name of the award-winning wing sauce from Bonehead's Wings, of course, our favorite local restaurant, Bonehead's Wing
that?
Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, ventured up. They closed up shop for the weekend, and they went for the second consecutive year to the National Buffalo Wing Festival in Buffalo, New York, and won the Festival Favorite Award, which basically means they had the best wings that, of any place that attended. And Creeping Death was named Hottest Sauce as part of the awards. So they racked up, they cleaned up for the second straight year. They won a bunch, and basically this time got the best one that could be offered, festival favorite. So big kudos to them, and they were this is from NBC 10, turn210.com. They're also going to be on ABC 6 later tonight at 11. A story will be on there. So, of course, our buddies Dave and Matt and Joanne, the owners up there, and Danny, of course, had a team of 15 people. And finished second in creative spicy category as well. So they did very, very well, taking home more hardware that'll be on display as always, at the Wing Bar. Kev, I had the burger of the month a few days ago. It is their hamburger with bacon, cheese, and their buffalo dip on top, and it was fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
Fantastic.
Now, you eat there how often?
So, I guess if you average it out, maybe once every 10 days. Like, there may be weeks where I go, like, twice, and then I may not go for a week or two. But average is probably 7 to 10 days. And it's fantastic. And I always try to make that at least my gym day so I can offset it a little bit. Or I try
right.
not to eat a lot that day. So that's, you know, it's tough.
And you have now, and since you've begun to eat there on a regular basis, since they become sponsors and you developed this whole relationship with them, you haven't gained any weight, have you?
No, I've lost weight. So it's all how you plan it.
Exactly. So I just want to make that point. So when we're talking like the earlier story about fat shaming and things like right. that, and people make bad food choices, here's JR who makes good food choices. He eats great food from a local restaurant that is doing some fantastic things with flavor and spice and is getting a lot of notoriety for themselves. And it's not something you eat every day. It's something you eat every one to 2 weeks. You go and you enjoy it. You knock it out of the park, but you go to the gym. You're staying physically fit and active. And this is with new baby on the, you know, baby number two now in the span of 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's easy to gain a lot of weight, but look at you. You haven't done it. So hats off to you, and congratulations to everybody from Bonehead's Wings who has done an outstanding job. I saw that story over the weekend and just beamed with pride when I said, my God, these are our sponsors. And here they are rocking the house up in Buffalo, which is, of course, the home of the Buffalo Wings. So
it was guys and a lady. With like no restaurant experience that put this thing to, they built this thing up just from their own dream, and they've done it. I mean, they always stand on their toes. They always try new stuff, and they're engaged. They're active on social media. They're very smart with their marketing, and the place is always packed. We were there Thursday night, and the line was out the door when we got there. So they're doing something right. And we'll give a shout-out, too, to our buddy Andrew Flanagan, because since he started eating there, he eats there almost as much as I do. He's lost, like 80 pounds. So he's somehow has fought through that as well. So we'll give a shout-out to him. But I'm not advocating the Boneheads diet unless there's plenty of other pieces involved. But definitely worth the trial. I know Mr. McGinn will be down in a couple weeks. We're going to do a Week 3 NFL at Boneheads. We'll be back there. So looking forward to that.
I am planning on hopefully sometime before the new year, a trip up to Providence.
Woo-hoo.
So, yeah. So if that happens, there will be maybe some Sunday football at Boneheads for yours truly. So we're working on that.
We'll get you on the Wall of Fame.
Wait a minute. What do I got to do to get on the Wall of Fame?
I think probably to show up and say hi to Matt and he'll put you up there.
So. Oh, okay. All right. I'm like, wait, I'm not going to eat super hot wings to get up there, am I? Because that would be, all right, because I would cry.
No, yeah, you don't want to eat
would be funny.
The hottest wings in the nation apparently now. So.
Wait, would you try it?
No, I can't. I can't handle the hot stuff. I'll push it, but our buddy the cowboy, Roger Morissette, has had the hot stuff.
Cowboy looks like the kind of guy that would do well with those.
Yeah, he does. Although he doesn't want to admit it. I think he's getting a little bit old. His stomach betrays him more often than when I first met him, and he could just eat anything. And he thinks he can still do stuff like that, but then he's hurting later. He doesn't have the ironclad stomach that he once had.
Wow. What about Scott? How's he doing these days?
Yeah, he's good. You know, doing Scott things. Still being Scott. Still doing the Knights of Columbus. I saw him. What was he here? I just saw him a couple weeks ago at SummerSlam. So. Always good to see him.
My buddy, our mutual friend, Henry Devine, commented on something that we had both commented on Facebook. And he was like, look at this, my two worlds colliding. So that's what it's all about.
I didn't
all
feel
right,
you
so,
guys colliding. You think that's something that the Earth would have felt?
Shut up, fat shamer. All right, here we go. See,
see
that's
it all
just
comes
it.
Around. Now, see?
Right. Nobody can say anything anymore. Ooh, you're fat shaming me. You're trying to.
I fat
unshamed
you last week. I talked about how great you looked when I saw you in Brooklyn.
Thank you. I noticed it when I saw myself on TV this week. Holy mackerel. I was
I'm
like, hey.
You, I was when I was all ready to make that cow joke, and I couldn't even do it. That's how good it looked.
Well, listen, it's a and I was talking with Stevie Richards in Atlanta, and Stevie's got a matchup coming against Jay Lethal. How about this? In I guess it's Lockport, New York, which is right outside of Buffalo. That's going to be on September 26th. So we'll be very excited for that. For our, we've had both guys on. And, you know, isn't that nice? Jay Lethal and Stevie Richards, as Stevie makes his in-ring wrestling debut for Ring of Honor. We're very excited about that. All right, let's continue. The beat goes on with these trending stories. We've heard two. Now it's time for the number three trending story here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
Kev, police arrested a 28-year-old Alaska woman and serious Wife of the Year candidate yesterday for allegedly stealing a state trooper's patrol car while her husband was handcuffed in the back seat. Yesterday, Joshua Watford was arrested Wednesday for reportedly failing to show up to a court-ordered DUI class, the AP says. Police say the arresting officer got distracted while chatting with a passing driver, and Amber Watford took the opportunity to hop in the patrol car and drive off. Officers found the undamaged patrol car an hour later with Joshua's handcuffs still inside. Despite assists from a police dog and helicopters, officers were unable to find the Watfords Wednesday. Acting on a tip, they discovered the couple in a house in Wasilla and arrested them on suspicion of vehicle theft, criminal mischief, and more. As of today, Amber had bailed out while Joshua remained behind bars. Thoughts? Would you do this to your spouse? Was it just really stupid? What do you think of the story?
No, I definitely would. As soon as I heard the name Watford, I was thinking of my pal Fez Marie Watley, who is retired from Fez Watley. He was a big wrestling fan, and Ron and Fez was a long running show on the Opie and Anthony channel. Used to be on 102.7 in New York and was on in DC for a while. And Fezzy, he retired from radio earlier this year. But yeah, I would do the same thing. It's the same town that Sarah Palin and her family live in. So that's kind of interesting. And I think that, again, when you distract a police officer nowadays, you got to be very careful. If you're a cop, you got to have eyes all around you. And for this woman to sneak in and try to steal that patrol car, I mean, hats off to her. Some wives would just give it up to their husband's best friend while they're in jail. Others, like this woman's, trying to prevent him from going to jail. So good for her. Well done.
Still an idiot. You're not going to get very far seeing a police car. You're just not. Went about it the wrong way.
Well, listen, I think that it's a poorly contrived plan, yes, but it's well executed and it's from the heart.
She should have driven across the Bering Strait right to Russia if she really wanted to escape.
She could see Russia from her house.
I don't understand Alaska. I heard not nice things about it. Our buddy Will lived there, and he said he just hated it.
Really?
He said they were all nasty. He's a Southern boy, so he said they were all just not very nice or accommodating. He's used to Southern manners, and he had to deal with a bunch of jerks up there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I know people from Canada are super nice.
Yeah, mainly.
So... Why? What do you mean mainland?
I said mainly. I know some of them.
Mainly?
Nice. Yes.
Really? You know people from Canada who are not nice?
Yeah. Well, they may be nice, but they're jerks. So the nice jerks, I guess.
Like passive aggressive?
Right. Like would you consider Bruce Hart a nice guy?
Yes.
No.
He was always nice to me.
Please.
He was always nice to me.
That's because you liked the sunglasses and leather coat.
Well, that was a hell of a look.
Well, yeah, my favorite Bruce Hart moment is when he gets the water thrown on him by Doink at SummerSlam 93. That's like the highlight.
Oh, he was so pissed, probably, right?
Oh, sure. Well, either that or he thought it was going to lead to like a big match and then didn't. I mean, he tells a story that it was supposed to be him feuding with Brett in 93 and that Brett got a change to Owen. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but.
What a family.
What a bomb that would have been. Imagine if they did that. They did Bruce instead of Owen during that whole feud.
I don't know. Listen. No, it would have been terrible. It would have been terrible. But
rank all the Harts. All 12.
I always feel bad for the Hart family. I liked all of them so much. I really did. I thought they were all just super, super
Even Diana?
Nice people. Yeah, oh, Diana was sweet. Oh, what a sweetheart she was. Super great. Davey, fantastic. I always liked, I didn't always like Brett, but Brett was always, he was kind of a krabopple when he was there, when I was there. Like, right. He just didn't look happy about anything. And Owen was a prince. Everybody loved Owen, of course.
How about the
Jim was Jim, and he was a kook. You know, he was a pretty lighthearted guy. Was kind of out there a little bit, but I like Jim. Jim was always very nice to me. I never had a complaint about Jim.
Are you a big Ellie guy? Ellie Hart?
I don't think I only met her once or twice. Like, I went to his house, and because he was running a promotion, so we met there because I was his ring announcer, and
Anvil?
We were gonna. Yeah.
He ran a promotion.
He ran a couple of shows down in Florida. Yeah. 93, 94, somewhere around then. It was fun. We had a good time. And
Georgia.
Excuse my yawning. Oh, it's been a crazy day, crazy weekend. But I always liked all the Harts. I really did. Everybody. And did I tell you my Stu Hart story, right?
Well, let's tell again just in case.
Right. All time I got to meet Stu Hart, I was really looking forward to it. We were in Calgary, and I saw him. He got out of the car, and he's walking towards me, and I was like, oh my gosh, Stu Hart, what do I say? And I said, hi, Mr. Hart, it's so nice to meet you. And he goes, where's the toilet? It's right over there, sir. And that was it.
What do you think you did in there?
Maybe a number one? Probably a long car ride. He's an old guy, tricky bladder.
Yeah.
That was kind of the vibe I got, that this was he was sort of hot-footing it. He was making a beeline towards, well, me, I thought. I thought he was excited to see me.
He didn't pee on you.
No, he just wanted, he was like, hey, there's a guy I can ask about the toilet. And that was it.
Made us thought you were like an attendant.
Like I would have had the mints and the towel.
Right. Like
and the array of sprays and whatnot.
Condoms.
No spray, no lay.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Excuse me. Stu Hart did not ask for any of that. He just wanted to know where the toilet
lube
was. He just wanted the toilet. I think he had to go pee. So do we have any more trending stories?
Kind of.
Really?
Kinda.
All right. Special bonus. This happens from time to time here on the Place to Be Nation on the Kevin Kelly Show. From time to time, JR will have an extra trending story for us. So let's go with the bonus trending story here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
So not quite trending, Kev, but the NFL season kicks off this week, finally, Thursday night. New England Patriots at home for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I thought we could levy some predictions here for the upcoming NFL season to close out trending story, since I think there'll be no bigger trending story than the NFL season kicking off this week. So let's go through the divisions, and then we'll do our playoffs. How about that?
All right. Divisions.
NFC East. We'll start in your division.
I'm going to pick Philadelphia. I think Dallas will be decent, but the 9-7 at the best. I think Philly's a solid 12-4, 13-3. Giants at Washington, 5-11, 6-10 at the best.
I'm going with Dallas. I think they stay with it, but I think it's with that 9-7 record. I don't think they're better than what you think. I just think that they will be better than the other teams in the division. I think Philly struggles. I don't know why. I think they had a lot of overhaul. I think DeMarco Murray will still be very good, but I could see him maybe having a little bit of a disappointing season. I don't necessarily fully trust Sam Bradford yet. Is Jordan Matthews ready to be the guy? I mean, a lot of question marks there. What's their defense going to look like? I think Dallas may be overall the more complete product top to bottom with more stability.
I think, again, it'll be interesting to see, but Dallas and the Giants are the Sunday night matchup, right? Yes. First week? Oh, yep. Good. I like that game. I love the Sunday night game. That is my favorite. Okay, so what's next? NFC North?
Yep. So I think the Packers are still the team to beat. Detroit, I don't know. I can never really trust them. I think the division is going to be pretty good because I think Minnesota will be better. I think Bridgewater had a really good first year. I think he takes a step forward. AP is back. They got Charles Johnson ready to break out. They brought in Mike Wallace. Already had a solid enough D. I think they're definitely a wild card contender. I think they finished second ahead of Detroit. And I think Green Bay wins the division.
I think Green Bay, they're 11-5, 10-6. I think Chicago is dreadful and will be lucky. I think they could be the worst team in football this year. 3-13. This could be where it all blows up.
I think Washington will be down there. They'll be bad. They'll be bad. I don't think they'll be the worst, but I think they'll be bad.
Yeah, Washington stinks. Could win two games, three games. Chicago stinks. Detroit and Minnesota, that's really the flip-flop. We'll see who comes out on top of that. They can't afford to they got to win at home and try to steal, you know, a game in somebody else's building that if they can get an extra division win. Green Bay head and shoulders, the class of everybody, so we'll see what happens there.
South, we got the Falcons, Saints, Bucks, and Panthers. So Panthers lost Kelvin Benjamin. Looks like he's done for the year, obviously. So Cam Newton will be thrown to the rookie Funchess. The Falcons are the Falcons. They've got a new head coach, retooled a little bit. The Saints lost a lot of pieces. They traded Jimmy Graham. So what will their offense look like? Drew Brees in some drafts in fantasy. I know he goes as early as 2. Still bullish on him. I'm not. And then Tampa.
That's a surprise.
I think Tampa, I don't know. They can make some waves. They're like a couple years away, but I don't think they're going to stink. But they also have a lot of holes to fill. So we'll be interested. But I'm going to take, I'll take Atlanta in that division.
I'm going to go Atlanta only because of the losses that Carolina has suffered. Cam Newton can't do it by himself. He already had a weak offensive line, which wasn't great. Now, losing all the receivers that he's lost, man, that sucks for him. So that's going to be rough. I think the Saints do a nice job, kind of get back.
No defense, though.
No defense, but they make it a little bit competitive. Atlanta is going to be a very strong team, and I think with an improved defense and some better line play, they could be making some waves in the latter rounds of the playoffs in the NFC.
Well, it's been a while, so we'll see. And then in the West, the 49ers are a dumpster fire. I think you've got to go with Seattle until they prove us wrong. I think St. Louis is the team that challenges them this year. Arizona as well should be good again. They got Palmer back now. So that division has flipped very quickly, where the Niners are now the bums at the bottom, and the Rams and Cardinals are the teams pushing the Seahawks.
Do the 49ers win a game?
Yeah, they'll win one or two, I think. I'd have to look at their schedule, honestly.
They do have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the football still at Colin Kaepernick.
And they've lost a lot of players, but yes, there is still stuff there. I mean, the coach seems to be a nut, but I don't think they're like moribund, like where they have no talent like some teams.
All right, so do we do our NFC playoff picks now, or do you want to do them at the end?
Yeah, go ahead. Who do you like?
Philly, Dallas as a wild card, Green Bay, Minnesota, Atlanta, and Seattle.
Okay, I'll say the Cowboys, Packers, Falcons, Seahawks are your division winners. I don't think the Rams or Cardinals get in. I'll go with Minnesota. I guess Minnesota and Philly with the Saints.
Oh, you got Philly as the 6th seed?
No, probably the 5. Like Minnesota will
be 6.
All right,
I see them like winning 13 games.
I don't know. It's just something. I need to see Bradford prove it, and then maybe I'm on board. Like, but he's like never played like a full season.
You're taking like the. I'm not going out on a limb when it comes to the way it seems like all the experts are predicting this season to play out. Like everybody thinks Philly is going to be great, and you are the first dissenting opinion that I've really heard that has taken a bold stance. So I I applaud you for it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to stink. I just think they're more of like a 9-win team as opposed to like a 12.
Yeah.
And I think Dallas is just like going to be like a game better. Like, I don't think – they may be like 10-6, 9-7, something like that, or even both 9-7, but Dallas has a tiebreaker. I think it would be something along those lines. I mean, that's a big week one game. Like, that could come in – to me, come into major play down the road with the who wins that division, who wins this game. The Niners – so they got Minnesota, Pittsburgh, at the Cardinals, home for Green Bay, at the Giants, versus Baltimore, versus Seattle, at the Rams, versus the Falcons, at the Seahawks, versus Arizona, at the Bears. So it's a winnable game for them. At the Browns, another winnable game. Even home for the Bengals, maybe. At the Lions, home for the Rams. Maybe two to three wins, I'd say.
All right. Well, we'll get into the AFC here because I have some opinions on this AFC thing. I'm going to tell you all about it.
All right, let's go with the West first. We'll work up in this one. So we got Denver, San Diego, Oakland, KC. Is this the year? Do they win the division again? What do you think? Did Manning make it through the year?
I am going to go out on the limb here, and I highlighted your going out on a limb pick because this is where I go out on a limb. I am picking the Oakland Raiders to win the AFC West.
Oof. That's way more of a limb walking than me with the Eagles. I'll say that.
It is. And I'll tell you why. I watched two of their preseason games.
All right, Francis.
I'm all in on the Raiders for having a great year.
Okay.
I think that their defense is going to be outstanding. And I think Derek Carr is good enough at this point in his career with the weapons around him, which are plentiful, to be able to string together 8, 9, maybe 10 wins.
So do you think Manning gets hurt, or do they just outlast Peyton Manning?
I think the Broncos come back to earth a little bit. I think a lot of what happens in the regular season is predicated on health. And for Oakland to get to 8, 9, 10 wins.
Wasn't Carr like already hurt? And I think he is going to start, but wasn't he already on the verge of maybe not playing week one?
Well, see, I didn't even hear that. It wouldn't shock me considering it's a Raiders pick, but no, like they need to stay healthy. They can't afford, you know, tremendous losses. And I think this is the last year for Peyton Manning. I think that he's shown a lot of signs of breaking down. He's still great, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't have all the same weapons that he had around him last year. I am not a believer in Gary Kubiak, and I don't think that him as the offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos is the right fit for Peyton Manning.
He's actually the head coach.
Kubiak is the head. I'm sorry, he's the head coach.
They kept Gates, right? Didn't they keep him, or did he go to Chicago?
He left. He's gone. Okay. It's Kubiak's offense.
Right.
And listen, Kubiak, when he was the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, I saw a lot of Ravens games last year. He did a great job. He was perfect for Joe Flacco, but I just don't feel it with Denver. So that's why I'm saying, and I also don't, I'm not a buyer on San Diego either. This is one of those divisions that I don't think, this is the race to 8. And if you're at 8-8, you're in the conversation. Nobody's going to be 12-4, I don't think. I think everybody is going to play, you know, tight, and they're all going to get, they'll all be able to get a win or two on the road. They'll all be able to do something. Kansas City is another one as well. I see this as like a 3 or 4 team split at 8-8, and somebody sneaks in, gets a tiebreaker, and wins the division.
All right, I'm going to say Denver, then KC, then San Diego, then Oakland. So,
okay.
Opposite of you. But I think Manning is good enough, and I think that offense helps him because he's not going to have to throw as much a game. Like, I think they're going to run a lot more with C.J. Anderson, who I'm not completely sold on either, but I think Manning may actually excel in that offense where he can get a little less tear on his arm, where he can dump it off more, audible more.
There are pros and cons to all four teams, to me, in that division, which we haven't been able to say. I think the Raiders are on the improve. I just wanted to make one upset pick. If they go 5-11, I would be shocked. I really would be shocked, unless they have just like cataclysmic injuries and the season is a loss.
Right.
I think they will be much better, and I think everybody is pretty good. Kansas City was the other team I was toying with. Nobody talks about Kansas City.
Right.
I think they're terrific.
All right, so AFC South. To me, it seems like it's the Colts division to lose again.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think the Texans could maybe push them. I like Bill O'Brien. I guess it depends
on
how Hoyer
does. I like
does.
Bill O'Brien.
Depends how Hoyer
sure
does.
I'm sure Penn State fans would love to have Bill O'Brien back, but
right.
After they, shat the bed against Temple this weekend.
McGinn's team, Temple.
What? Look at McGinn. First time since 1941 or something like that? It's crazy.
Scott's 10th birthday. And the Jaguars, it's still nothing. And I don't think Tennessee. I like Mariota. Like, I think he's going to be pretty good, but I don't think they're ready yet. They don't have enough pieces.
Which rookie has the better year, Mariota or Jameis Winston?
I'll say Winston only because I like his weapons better.
Yeah, he does. He has better weapons. I think both guys are going to struggle. I think it's a 20 turnover season for Jameis Winston.
Probably.
So.
Colts division will win, though.
Oh, yeah. The Colts should win this in a walk. Are they the number one seed? I'm more inclined to say they're the number one seed than they struggle to win the division, only because I could see them running the table and getting 6 wins in division.
Right. I would have said that if Brady was missing the first 4 games, but we'll get there. So Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers in the North. I don't know. I'm not a Flacco fan. I am not an Andy Dalton fan. But I don't think Pittsburgh has the defense to win that division.
One quarterback, though, to win a game. Who are you picking, Andy Dalton or Joe Flacco?
Oh, Flacco.
All right.
Easy.
There's your choice.
Easy.
Yep.
The Steelers have an awesome offense, no defense. So I don't know if they can win that division. Baltimore, I feel like, has lost a lot, but they have a little bit better offense now than they had last year. The Bengals are the best team overall, so I guess I'll say maybe they win the division, but I think they shit the bed again in the playoffs.
This is Marvin Lewis's last year.
Don't we say that every year?
We do, but this is the year that I'm going to go out on the limb, and I'm going to say the Raiders win the West, and this is Marvin Lewis's last year.
So you think they do not win the division?
I do not think they win the division.
Who do you take then, Baltimore? Or Pittsburgh?
I'm actually leaning towards Pittsburgh.
Is their offense good enough to cover it?
It's the Philly thing with me.
Yeah.
I think they've got so many weapons on offense that it'll cover up their stinky, rotten defense. And I think they can outscore guys.
All right. I'm down with that. Yep. I do think they lose week one because I think New England at home, coming off this whole Deflategate stuff, raising the banner, I think they win that game. I'm not a believer of, like, Tom Brady's going to try extra hard now and be mad and score a ton, because I think he plays that way anyway. So
how many announcers, what's the over-under on he's playing with a chip on his shoulder?
Oh, it's going to be
analogies.
Brutal. Especially week one, when you can't really take what happens in that game and, like, extrapolate it, because we've seen this game get crazy every year. The home team raising the banner is all fired up, and they just wax. I mean, was it Seattle Green Bay last year? Didn't they beat the crap out of them? Was that the game?
Yeah. Wasn't there like a flash of brilliance a little bit for Green Bay? They looked good for a little bit, but then they got smoked,
Wax,
and
I
that
think.
Was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, because then the Jets had them. They were down like 21-0. Remember the Jets in week two? And the Jets blew that. I think the Pats rout the Steelers and people get all fired up, but I don't think I don't think it'll matter for the Steelers, but I think the Patriots win that first game. So, and in the East, I'll go Patriots. I don't know. The home run means they're going to say Jets second, Dolphins third, Bills fourth. The Bills, to me, and I've said it time and time again, like the Blue Jays, until they do it, I'm not going to buy them. So I don't buy the Bills. I think they're similar to the Jets. Maybe slightly better defense, but I think the Jets have slightly better offense because I think McCoy is done. And I think the rec show, they're all buying in early. We'll see how it pays off. Miami, to me, this is kind of a make or break for them. I think Philbin's gone if they don't make the playoffs this year.
With right.
All the stuff you're hearing about, Tannehill, this being the year he's ready to break through. Really good defense. So I think the division will be fine. I don't, you know, the Pats' secondary is going to be a mess. They have a good front seven. I don't know what they got going on at receiver now that Reggie Wayne's gone. They got Gronk and Edelman and not much else. So we'll see. But I'll still take the Pats. I think the Jets overachieve, and then Dolphins, Bills. And Philbin gets fired. And I know I'm wrong, but I don't care.
Well, that's okay. Does Geno Smith come back? He's out, what, 6 to 10 weeks?
Well, they're saying week 4 would be – he should be back by week 5, but I think week 5 is their bye. So week 6 is probably when he'd be ready. But I think he only plays if they're like 1-3 or 0-4, and Fitzpatrick's been terrible. From what everyone on the beat writers are saying, it's Fitzpatrick's job to lose now, regardless of when Geno comes back.
Okay. That's interesting. Has Geno Smith played his last game in a Jets uniform?
If he never starts this year, if Fitzpatrick has like a solid enough year that he never has to play, yes, I think he's done.
Has Robert Griffin III played his last game in a Washington Redskins uniform?
No, because I think Kirk Cousins sucks, and they're going to be tempted to have RG3 restart halfway through the season.
I think Kirk Cousins, I think his fate was sealed to me. Kirk Cousins' fate was sealed when they did not cut RG3.
Right.
They kept him on the team.
Yep.
He's doomed.
Yep.
He can't win in that system either.
Nope.
He's okay. He's fine. But he's another – he's Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Schaub, without the experience.
Yep.
He's a game manager. Okay. He's good.
He hasn't even proven that he can do that. Like, he hasn't proven he's a game manager on any level.
But I'm saying that's his skill set.
Right.
That is his – that's his ceiling. The best he's ever going to be is a good game manager. He's Bruce Gradkowski.
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He is he's a second-year, third-year guy now who I don't know, but he's doomed. I think both of them are doomed. That is the dumpster fire.
Yes.
You mentioned the 49ers. The race to the bottom is between them and the Redskins.
And the Giants, as always.
And the Giants.
And the Browns.
The Giants. The Giants are going to stink. The Giants are horrible. I'm a Giants fan. Eli Manning, to me, the most overrated good quarterback of all time.
I'd take
him. No, no weapons.
I'd take him on that Jets team.
Running is a weak running game, no offensive line.
See, I don't think it's a weak running game. I like your running back. I like Rashad Jennings, and I think Vereen is a good pickup.
So. Great receivers, no tight end, no offensive line. And the defense sucks. Sucks. Horrible. And it's going to be a very, very, very long year in New York. Tom Coughlin, Marvin Lewis, and Joe Philbin are your first three coaches that get fired at the end of this season.
And I think Jay Gruden gets fired when he refuses to put RG3 in, and Snyder makes him. Or he quits.
Jay Gruden may get fired mid-season.
Yep.
Wouldn't shock me. And who is the coach of Chicago?
Not Trestman anymore.
No. Trestman is the offensive coordinator in Baltimore.
Correct.
Showing that anybody can get a job anywhere in the NFL.
So I'm going to say I'm picking Baltimore to win that division now. I forgot. I like him as an offensive coordinator. I think he helps Flacco a lot. I'll take them to win the division now.
All right, so go through your playoff teams then.
For the AFC, I'm going to go with the Broncos, the Colts, the Ravens, and the Pats. So usuals. I'm going to go with the Steelers and the Jets, who get in at 9-7.
There you go. My four division winners are the Patriots, the Colts, the Steelers, and the Raiders, even though Chris Berman sucks. My two wild card teams will come out of the AFC North. And no, I'm changing that. I'm sorry. I can't do that. I am going to go with the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Okay, so you don't think Manning even makes the playoffs?
Nope, I don't.
All right, let's quickly do our championship games. I'll go with Green Bay I guess Green Bay and Seattle. It's hard to see Seattle not getting there. I'll go Green Bay, Seattle, Indy. Oh, God, I really don't want to say Indy Patriots again. Indy and the
Good,
Ravens.
Good, because that's what I'm going to say.
We'll go Indy, right. Indy and the Ravens, Seahawks, Green Bay, Green Bay, Indy, Super Bowl. Green Bay wins. And the only reason the Colts get that far is because they don't catch the Patriots in the playoffs. The Ravens beat them.
I think it's a rematch of last year with Green Bay and Seattle. It's going to be the Colts and the Pats. Home field this year goes to the Colts. This year, I think the Colts can win.
I don't think they can beat the Patriots. If they play again, no? I think the Pats beat them. Nope. I think they're in their heads.
Really?
Yep.
Unless
something serious happens, like Gronk is out, but they still get to the playoffs or something like that, then maybe. But and I know the secondary is shaky, but I don't know. I think this year, and again, I'm not a big fan of or believer of they're super motivated thing, but I don't think they'll lose to the Colts this year. I think they're so pissed off over Deflategate that they will make sure they win somehow win those games.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters because I think the Seattle Green Bay winner is going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll go with Indy Green Bay. I guess I'm not. I think the fact that we're so chalky, I think says that we're missing some team that's going to emerge and come out of nowhere. Like it's never like the same four, you know what I mean? So we're missing some team somewhere. I don't know.
No, it's usually pretty much the same four.
No, there's always like one other team in there. Like it's not always the same four teams make it the same.
Well, I threw the Raiders in there, and you poo-pooed that.
No, but I'm saying the conference, the final four. You know, there's always like a different.
So then you've got to pick the Jets.
Well, no, I have the Ravens because they didn't make the Final Four last year. It's like yes, you picked a straight. No, they lost to the Pats in the second.
Oh, well, I meant Final Four of the conference.
No, I'm talking the two championship games are never the same four usually. You know what I mean? You went the same as last year.
Well, I flip flop home field, and I have a different winner in the AFC.
Right, but you have the same four teams making.
Yeah, I don't. You know what though? I don't really see. Okay, so
that's what
who
I'm
is
saying.
Better?
I think we're missing
year?
The team. I think we're missing. There's a team somewhere that's going to come out. Is what I'm saying.
Did we just overlook Philly? Did we overlook Pittsburgh? Did we overlook?
See, I want to say Pittsburgh.
You don't see that much. You don't see that much in Philly.
Yeah, no, I don't. But I don't. I don't know. Pittsburgh to me is a team doesn't have the defense to get far enough. Like if they had a little bit of defense, I'd probably be picking them. I think Dallas could be the team.
Again, like you said before, I don't believe it until I see it.
No, I know. And
they
that's why
have
not
show
like
me
Buffalo
once.
Either.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Anyway. What else do you want me to do today? Is there anything else?
Yeah, one other thing we're going to talk about after the break.
Let's take one last break. We'll come back. Kevin Kelly Show. We'll wrap things up here on this edition. It's Kevin Kelly Show on Place to Be Nation. Our website home, placetobenation.com.
Watch pro wrestling. Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Good Will Wrestling with Good Ol' Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brain Buster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
All right, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show. We got about 10 minutes left. We're going to wrap this up in short order. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We're working on I've got to call Cornette. I'm going to try to get him on in a couple of weeks. We're pushing back the schedule a little bit. We'll record later in the week. It won't be on Monday, release on Tuesday. But make sure you follow us on Twitter. You'll see all the updates on the Facebook page as well. But that's what's forthcoming in a couple of weeks. So PWI 500 has come out. It's always a big deal. It used to be a bigger deal when I was younger than I think it is now. Anyway, it's a lot of fun because it gives us the opportunity to speculate, especially for me who hasn't seen the list. I only know where like a couple of my friends finished, like way, way down.
Rockstar.
And you know, here's some little known PWI 500 trivia. One year I was almost in the PWI 500.
Really? Were they that desperate?
No, it was. And in fact, it was because I worked for ECWA at the time, East Coast Wrestling Association, and I was its champion for one glorious month. And so there you go.
All right, so we'll get a couple of these guys at the end. I just want to throw out there. So number 500, we were going to mention was Space Monkey. I don't know if you've heard of that guy. No idea.
I love Space Monkey. He's been to an ROH tryout camp, and I guarantee you, I promise you this, Space Monkey will be debuting with Ring of Honor at some point in 2016 if all goes well.
Space
He's amazing.
Monkey Mafia. Our buddy Dick Justice checks in at 472. Of course, we saw him here in Rhode Island, had that awful match. 496, your buddy Cheeseburger.
See, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Cheeseburger got his first win on television this week.
He cracks a 500.
Over Brutal Bob.
Good. No, I like Brutal Bob. Of course, the most famous number 500 was probably Duke Drossi when he was the garbage man on the indie scene before he was signed. It was one of the more famous ones. Not on the list is our buddy RJ Brewer because he's hanging the trunks up and he didn't really compete that much this year. But I do have, I want to say it was like 04, 05 when he was John Walters in ROH. He ranked in a decent spot and I have that saved somewhere. I went out and bought it when I found out he was in there. So
was he plus 150?
I don't remember. I got to think at one of those years, he probably was at a decent rank when he had that strong year in ROH where he was the where he was the pure champion and everything. And he did some WWE spots as well. So he might have been. I don't know if he was top 150. Probably top 200, I would say.
Okay.
Just like us. All right. Do you want to guess the top? Guess at the top 10. I'll give you a little stat. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six guys that are WWE, and the others are indie / ROH-ish, Japan-ish.
All right.
Oriental, as some AWA announcers may say.
So horrible. Let's go with trying to guess number one.
Okay. Now, remember, they pretty much go within kayfabe, right?
Well, obviously, it's Brock Lesnar. It's not?
Nope. Think kayfabe-wise, right? So what's the biggest
promotion?
So Seth
Rollins.
Yes. Right? Because he held the biggest promotion's biggest title for almost a year.
Okay.
Okay. So he's number
one. I was thinking Seth, but that's fine. Where is Brock Lesnar in the top 10?
Brock Lesnar did not make the list.
What? He's not at the PWI 500.
I'm not going to be there, Terry. I'm not booked. He did not make the top 500. So I don't know if the criteria is that he didn't wrestle enough. That's all I can think of, is that he didn't wrestle enough for them.
Cheeseburger, Space Monkey, they're in the list.
Oh, I'll read your name. I mean, Tommy Dreamer is top 300. You know, and Brock Lesnar, Jekyll's the Jester at 414, Rick Luxury at 415, Jay Rios at 429.
Well, Luster, I know Jay Rios. I know Luster the Legend. He's part of Reno Scum. And Jay Rios is one of the Bendejos, a very good tag team.
Blaster McMassive at 458.
They're in. He's in Chikara, guy.
Coconut Jones, 466.
Him, I don't know.
Our good friend Jervis Cottonbelly from Chikara, 468. Damian Wayne, Silent Warrior, Chris.
I know Damian Wayne from Virginia.
John McChesney.
He's a Pittsburgh guy.
Harlem Bravado. You're good.
That's one of the Bravado brothers.
There you go. Jackson J. Regardless, we know who these guys are. We know the names. But they're all in this, and Brock Lesnar's not.
That list is a. That list is. All right, all right. Anyway.
So, number two.
So, again, number two.
Then kayfabe, right?
John Cena.
Yes. And I think he earned it. I think he earned that slot this year.
Maybe
his best year overall since like
I never have a complaint. Anybody wants to say John Cena is great? Anybody wants to see he's number one top guy? I completely agree. If anybody says he sucks, I'll fight you. But right.
Number three is our first non-WWE guy.
I would say
he's had a
It's either Shinsuke Nakamura or Kazuchika Okada.
Nope. So Nakamura is number five.
Okay.
Okada is 27.
What?
Yes.
They're on the crack.
Number three, though, is buyable. Like, I'm okay with number three. He's had a great year. Been featured on your TV. No. Lethal 17.
Roderick Strong.
No. Think bigger.
AJ Styles.
Yes. Roderick Strong, 62.
That's low for Roddy. Kane. I forgot all about AJ. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. I mean, Kane was number 51, by the way, above Roderick Strong. I'm fine with the top three. I'm good with. I mean, if you tell me Brock is not eligible, I mean, if he was, he'd be number one. But if he's not eligible, you're telling me that he doesn't fit their criteria. I'm cool with these top three. Like, I think these three have been the best, most high profile guys in wrestling, arguably this year. And Nakamura should probably be number four and not this guy. And I like this guy a lot.
Randy Orton.
No, he's number six, which I think is fine. Number four is a guy.
Roman Reigns.
Yes.
All right, Roman Reigns, four.
And the reason Reigns
Nakamura
is weird to me,
five.
But Reigns is weird to me because it goes against, like, he didn't have a great year. He goes against their criteria, right? So he had a great year in the ring and stuff. Like, he's really good in the ring. But what did he really do after Mania? Like, he's lost a bunch of matches. So if they're writing this from a kayfabe lens, where Rollins is the champion of the biggest company, Cena is the biggest star of the biggest company, how is Reigns top five when he's lost like a ton of matches in theory? You know what I mean? And I know that doesn't matter, like, but we're not talking like that. We're talking in the world of PWI. I don't see what rates him that high. I know he won the Rumble, but he lost his title shot and has done nothing since.
All right. So he's four.
Nakamura's five. Orton six, we know.
Orton six. Seven has got to be New Day.
I wish. No, seven is another ROH guy. Through and through.
Kevin Owens.
No, he's number 10.
Pure
ROH guy. Pure ROH guy. Still there. He's undefeated for a long time. Not undefeated, but held a long streak of wins.
You already said. Oh, wait. I'm confused. Who?
He was your ROH. He's an ROH, had a very long streak of wins that finally ended this year. Didn't get pinned for like 2 years or whatever.
Oh, Jay Briscoe?
Yes.
Really?
Number seven.
Wow. Never would have imagined Jay Briscoe was that high. I was trying to think like, wait, you already said Lethal.
Yeah, he's 10 spots above Lethal. Now,
well,
but
isn't
does
that
their
something?
Year run? So they must run August to August, right? So maybe that's what makes Reigns make a little bit more sense. So maybe that's why Briscoe makes more sense than Lethal, because it's August to August.
Lethal was unbeaten. I mean, Briscoe was unbeaten for 2 years. Lethal was unbeaten for hadn't lost for the title.
Right.
He had held the title for 14 months, March to March. But God, isn't that funny? Like, I take Jay Briscoe for granted. Like, I'm thinking, you know, wait, who was it? Jay Briscoe? Jay Lethal? Roddy? That's crazy. All right, Jay Briscoe, 7.
All right, we need eight. Eight is a WWE guy. 9 is a former WWE guy, indie guy now.
And 10 we guessed is Owens.
Yep.
Is 9 Matt Hardy?
9's a... No. Nope.
8 is a WWE guy.
Hardy's 74.
That's so low.
8's a WWE guy. 9 is a former WWE champion. I won't say indie. I mean, he's in a country. I'll put it that, He did some ROH stuff.
All right, who's 8?
8 is Rusev.
Okay. That's a stretch, but if that's the direction they want to go.
I'm kind of down with it. I think he's earned that.
Yeah, spot. You're a bigger Rusev fan than me. 9 is an indie guy who used to be in the WWE.
Yeah, I won't say indie. I mean, technically indie, but not like an indie guy. But yes, former world champion in WWE.
Alberto El Patron.
Yes. So there's your top 10. Rollins, Cena, Styles, Reigns, Nakamura, Orton, Briscoe, Rusev, Patron, Owens. Here's the rest of the top 30 I'll give you. Tanahashi at 11, Ziggler at 12, Ambrose 13, Daniel Bryan 14, which doesn't make too much sense. I guess, well,
yeah.
I guess end of last year he was right now. Yeah, I guess he was. Adrian Neville at 15, Ricochet / Prince Puma at 16, Lethal 17, Lashley at 18, Minoru Suzuki at 19, King Barrett at 20, which makes no sense to me. Guy has won like 3 matches all year. And I love Wade Barrett, but again, the problem is they blend their criteria. Is it great worker? Is it a guy who wins matches and titles? It's very, very blurred. Bray Wyatt at 21, Bobby Roode at 22, Sami Zayn at 23, Luke Harper at 24, Kurt Angle at 25, Mil Muertes 26, Okada 27, Finn Balor 28, Ryback 29, and Ethan Carter the 3rd at 30.
All right.
Anyone you want
that's
to
a good
up?
List.
Cesaro 41 is low.
That's low. New Day?
Well, they don't do them together. So, let's see. Kingston is 52. Let's check Big E. Big E's 44. And Apollo. Well, no, what's his name? why am I drawing a blank on his name? The other guy.
I was trying to think of his
Xavier
name
Woods.
Today. And then I was...
Xavier Woods. Where did I get Apollo from?
No, seriously, Apollo Crews?
No, I'm thinking of Apollo... UHA Nation, that just debuted for NXT, is Apollo Crews.
Isn't
yes.
that
oh,
Apollo
yeah.
Crews?
Yep, Apollo Crews.
That's
Cruz,
what I was trying.
Like Chris
I was thinking of his name today while I'm cutting the grass. And then I was thinking, wait, what's the guy in New Day's name?
Yes, Xavier Woods.
Damn it. And he's isn't that funny? We were both having the exact same conflict.
Well,
we couldn't think of Xavier Woods.
Well, he was Consequences Creed in TNA, right? That's what I was thinking. Was Apollo? He did the Apollo gimmick. That was what I was.
He did Apollo. Yeah. Right. So now he's Apollo Crews, but Apollo Crews is not Consequences Creed. Consequences Creed is Xavier Woods.
Right.
For those of you scoring at home.
He's 77. Jericho, 84. Baron Corbin, 86. Sin Cara, 100. Mark Henry, 130. Bully Ray, 129. Chris Axel, 142. So, anyone else you want to look up? Jarrett, 182.
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, take it home. Romantic Touch,
well,
208.
Fans, really? I do want to thank everybody for tuning in and for bringing us all the way up to the top 200 of podcasts. If you think...
Sports.
In sports. That, you know, every NFL team has a podcast.
Jay Diesel,
every
253.
Every ESPN show has a podcast. And so here we are in the top 200. Having done now, 42, 43 episodes over a year plus, that's all because of you. Word of mouth is how we promote this show, a little bit on social media. And it's, you know, in and amongst the great shows that are on the Place to Be Nation website and those podcasts and that family. So, but really, it's because of you. So I want to say thank you to everybody who takes the time to listen to this show, who has spread the word about this show, and who has brought us all the way up into the top 200 sports podcasts in very, very short order. So I do want to say thank you to that. I want to say thank you also to our production team, which makes this show go. First to Dan McGinn and also to the producer, Justin Rosero. Without you guys, there would not be a show because I would not bother on my own. I do want to say thank you to Ray Rowe, who did his best to be with us tonight. He's in Mexico and was dealing with some phone challenges. We'll get Ray back on here really soon. I want you to check out the go seek out the trailer for his documentary, The Path. And if you're so inclined to contribute to its production, there is a GoFundMe campaign that is currently up and running. So let's, if you're so inclined, if it's something that you want to do and you feel moved to do so, but definitely check out that trailer because the story of Ray Rowe and his remarkable comeback from catastrophic injury is just a sight to behold, and it's great. He will challenge. He and his partner Hansen go after the GHC heavyweight tag team titles held by Harry Smith and who's his partner? Lance Archer, the Killer Elite Squad. They'll be fighting for that title in a couple of, September, just over a week, the 19th. And that's over in NOAH. On the 18th, Ring of Honor gets back together for pay-per-view. We're really excited for All-Star Extravaganza, and we want you to be there on Friday, September 18th, ROHWrestling.com for all the details. Big show coming back in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the NFL season, everybody, and enjoy professional wrestling like always. For Dan and for Justin, I'm Kevin Kelly, and we'll see you in 2 weeks here on The Kevin Kelly Show, Place to Be Nation, our website home, placetobenation.com.
Wayne Bloom, number 493, Slipknot 380, lots to like here. Wake up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
But by the way, speaking of food and Bush,
I think Chris Jericho is who Michael Hayes would like to be.
Always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox.
I do not know where Steve Austin is. He saw the gun. He saw the gun and he left. Oh my God, he's back!
Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
No, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.